Second Chronicles, chapter 7. Second Chronicles, chapter 7. And we'll start at verse 13. This is the Lord speaking to Solomon. If I shut up heaven, let there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There is no substitute for prayer. None. We thank God for prayer. We thank God that He honors prayer. We thank God that He hears prayer and that we have so many promises throughout God's Word that encourage us to pray. That encourage us, that God hears prayers, accounts of those who have called on God in prayer. People that have been delivered when they called out to God in prayer and God answered them and delivered them. Prayer moves the hand of God. Prayer is the only way we receive things from God. When we want to draw closer to God, it has to be by prayer. And we thank God for that. When we want to learn more of God, it's through prayer. Prayer is the key that gives us victory over every fear, every doubt, every difficulty that we face, every struggle that we might face in life, everything that the enemy may throw at us. Prayer is the key that will give us the victory. There's no substitute for prayer. There are a lot of parts and pieces to the gospel. It's important to be faithful. It's important to be loyal. It's important to be zealous. It's important to be active. But none of those things takes the place of prayer. And none of those things is any good without prayer. We thank God for the music that we have here and the songs that encourage our hearts. We thank God for songs that seem truly inspired by God, that move in our hearts and soften us up and give us an appreciation for the gospel. But even that is not a substitute for prayer. I had several years ago, I had one young man approach me and he said, you know, I could probably be more encouraged in church if we had a different style of music. And I said, I don't know about that, but you know, that song is going to have to end. And when the music stops, you're still going to have to get on your knees and learn how to get a prayer through to get anywhere with God. And he stopped and he said, I act like he'd never thought of that before. And he said, you know, you're right. And that was the end of the conversation. We appreciate music. It's a vital part. It's a critical part of who we are in our faith and our walk with God. But nothing takes the place of prayer. You'll never pray too much. There's no such thing. We can't pray too much. The gospel began with prayer. The Lord went to the cross after a prayer meeting. The early church was founded on prayer. It started in prayer. It started in prayer, in a prayer meeting. They went from house to house, but they prayed. And it continued by prayer. This organization started in a prayer meeting. And the only hope of gain and continuing and growth is through prayer. If we leave off prayer, we leave off victory. We leave off a vision. We leave off the call of God on our own lives. We forsake ourselves. So, of course, we wouldn't want to forsake prayer, but we must understand how critical prayer is on a personal level. We must understand how critical it is that we have an active, vibrant, consistent prayer life with the Lord if we are going to grow in Him, if we're going to receive things from God, if we're going to have victory, if we're going to see the promises of God that we see in God's Word that are not yet fulfilled in our lives. We want them fulfilled in our lives. And if that's going to happen, it's going to be through prayer. And we thank God that He answers prayer. We thank God that He inspires us to pray. At my place of employment, there's eight other people in that room where I sit, and a lot of them like to talk about their stocks. They watch the trends, the highs and the lows, and they talk a lot about it. Some of them do some day trading, and they always want to trade up, of course, but they're always discussing among themselves, should I sit on it? Should I sell? Should I buy? It's of interest to them. It's a passion with them. It's a daily conversation with them. They're interested in increasing their portfolio. They're trying to increase their status and their standing. They're watching out for these things. But I thought as I listened to them working so hard to improve, they're always thinking about it. The interest is there. And I thought, you know, we also are doing some trading up. We also are doing some trading up for eternal things. But the Lord speaks to our heart and in the place of prayer, why we're allowing the Lord into our lives and the things that God reveals to us. The things that God shows us, why where we come up short a little bit on, why we're willing to allow God access into every part of our lives. And that goes along with John 15:2, when the Lord was talking about pruning. The branches that don't bear any fruit, He takes those away. But the branches that do bear fruit, He prunes them further so that they will bring forth more fruit. Sometimes a branch might have fruit on it that's cluttered and it's stifled a little bit, and it has to be trimmed away so better fruit can grow. And sometimes there might be fruit in our lives, things that the Lord has done, but we might get in the way of it. Sometimes we get in our own way. We might want to add credit to it. We might want to notice it. We might want to help it. We might want to add our methods to what God is doing in our life. And there are times when the Lord says, I need your hands off of that. And you might have to cut away some of those things so better fruit can grow. That's part of the pruning process. That's part of growth. That's part of what the Lord is doing in our lives as we grow closer to Him and He trims away things that we thought were okay, that we thought were good. But as we pray, as we ask the Lord to search our hearts daily and cleanse our minds, cleanse our souls, we find the Lord is working with us. But this happens in prayer. This happens as we draw closer to God and we're trading up. We're willing to let go of the good so God can give us His best. That happens in prayer. There are a lot of things that distract us from prayer. And we can't allow that. We live in a very distracted world, a very distracting world. There are a lot of things that will draw our attention, a lot of things that will keep us from praying, a lot of things that will rob us of a hunger, will rob us of our interest in drawing closer to God. It doesn't mean we don't love the Lord, but there are so many things that can take the edge off of our hunger, off of our interest. And we have to be aware of that. We have to guard the hunger that we have. Our own lives started in a prayer meeting. Our walk with God started in prayer. We were saved because of prayer. And we will continue to grow in prayer. We will continue to grow because we pray. The victory that we have in our life is directly related to how we pray. Our walk with God is going to be directly related to how we pray, how often we pray, and what we pray. In Acts chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, we have the account of Herod, who had just taken James and martyred him. He saw it pleased the Jews, so he took Peter also. And it tells us in Acts 4 and 5, Acts chapter 12, 4 and 5, it tells us he took Peter, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. But prayer was made. No doubt, obviously the church would have been concerned. They felt like they couldn't afford to lose Peter. They didn't understand what was happening, why God would allow this, why this kind of turmoil and trouble and discouragement would come their way. But prayer was made without ceasing by the church because they knew prayer worked. We have to know prayer works. And the only way we're going to know that prayer works is if we pray. We're not going to know what God can do if we don't pray. We're not going to understand the things God wants to do in our lives if we don't pray. And they prayed, and no doubt they didn't know what to pray. What would you have prayed? Deliver him from prison? What's a logical prayer? Would that be your first approach? Well, what's that? What's going to be the easiest way for God to answer? You would give up after a while. You just put the whole thing over in God's hands. Lord, help us. Lord, undertake. We need you to work. This is your church. You started this. This is your gospel. You give real victory. We're walking in your light. They were walking with God. They were in a step with God. They were walking in God's light. They were spreading the gospel, and this was happening. What could they do about it? There was nothing they could do about it. But they prayed. No doubt they put it in God's hands. Lord, you know. We can't imagine what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, when you're going to do it, but we need you to undertake. We need you to work. And they prayed. You've prayed that way. Sometimes that's the only prayer we can pray, and God knows what to do with a prayer like that. God knows how to bring us victory when we're in a place like that. And all we can say is, Lord, undertake. God, help us here. And God did. They kept praying. They didn't know that God was working. God had sent his angel to woke up Peter. God had already loosed his bands. God opened the gates before Peter as he was walking out. They didn't know any of these things, but they were praying and they kept praying. No doubt the Lord inspired them to pray. The Lord will do that too. He gives us prayers to pray that he can answer. He helps us. There's no better altar worker than the Lord himself. There's no better encourager in our prayer life than the Lord himself. When we draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to us. He doesn't just not notice and sit back and wonder what else we're going to do. The moment we make an effort to draw nigh to God in prayer, he will draw nigh to us. I'm sure the Lord was in those prayer meetings. I'm sure the Lord encouraged them. We don't know all what was going on, but they kept praying. They needed God to undertake. And God did undertake. And they kept praying until Peter showed up at their door. They were shocked. I would have been shocked too. No doubt you would have been. They didn't know how God was going to answer, but answer he did. But prayer was made. There are a lot of things that happen in our lives and we decide how we're going to act and react to things. We decide what we're going to do next as things come across our path. And we can decide to pray or we can decide to do other things. And maybe some of us have testimonies that we were, even though we were saved, perhaps we were not where we should be. Not where we could be, not where we wanted to be. We were saved, we were walking with God, but not where we should be. Things coming across our path, and all of a sudden, the Lord wakes us up. Something occurs in our life, and he opens our eyes, he begins to speak to us. Have we recognized something's got to change? I need to draw closer to God. I need to make some changes. And the moment you do that, and you turn your attention and your face to God, and you determine you're going to make the changes that need to be made, and you begin to seek God, you find something begins to happen. Changes begin to take place. And there's victory in your life. There are many testimonies like that. I know them. We might tell your spouse, I know of one testimony that one man told his wife, I need you to pray for me. I got to do better than this. There's better victory than this for me. And pray they did. And there was a change in that home. But prayer was made. And I wonder, as those books are open one day, when we're reading, we're hearing about that story, about that walk with God that is not what it could have been, what it should have been, but somebody reacted, somebody responded to something they read, something they heard, the Lord was faithful, and they decided they were going to get back to God. That walked closer to God where they needed to be. And in those books, that story is interrupted, and we have but prayer was made. And something changed. We have loved ones that need to be saved. The children of the saints. I think about that often. Those we know that need to be saved. We want to see them saved. And the Lord works when people pray. The Lord works when we pray for our children. And it might seem like a foregone conclusion, a direction something may be going. Total failure, ending up in complete disaster. Who knows the direction it is going? But prayer, when prayer is made, things change. Why, the course of that life is altered. And you read that story and here it's heading a direction of disaster, but prayer was made. Something happened in there. Somebody began to pray and get a hold of God. And somebody was interested enough in that soul that they didn't give up praying until that soul was saved. That's the kind of an interest that we have. That's the kind of an interest that we have in this gospel, that we have in the souls of men and women to see them saved. We know that prayer works. We know that God will honor prayer. This promise that we read, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Often that is quoted and referring to people that need to be saved and need to be turned back to God, but that is not always the case. We might find ourselves in a condition where we recognize that I'm not as close to God as I could be, as I want to be. There might be things in my life and my habits and my routine that are not allowing me to be as faithful to God as I want to be, that are not allowing me to pray as I ought to, that are not allowing me to be where I want to be with God. And we can take that and bring that to God, and we can tell him all about it. And as we turn to God, God is going to respond to that. God will work on your behalf. The moment that we turn back to God, I think of my own testimony. I point to a time when I was 18 years old when I finally got straightened out with God. But I was saved at 9. Well, I was sanctified at 9 on the same night. Brother Norman Allen preached. I remember that. God did a work in my life. But there was a few years that happened in there, and I was kind of wandering around and bouncing around, not really sure what to do. I was trying to fit in with the world, trying to fit in with everything else. It wasn't working until I finally got to the point where I recognized I needed to get things straightened out with God. And on that day, July 7th, I believe it was, 1988, God straightened me out, and I point to that day, God saved me. And God, I made some consecrations and surrendered my life as I was looking forward the rest of my life. But the Lord showed me something else, how faithful He is, because in those years, I was in places I shouldn't have been in. I was with people I shouldn't have been with. I was given opportunities I shouldn't have been given. Nobody would have known. But the Lord pointed out to me the interest was not there. I was there, the only one not partaking, but the interest was not there. There wasn't even a temptation. Things were passed around. I was the only one who didn't. I wasn't claiming anything. But the Lord was pointing out to me, I was protecting you right there. The Lord is so faithful. He doesn't let us go easy. I still had to get right with God, but there was a point in my life when the light came on and I realized I better do something to get this straightened out. And I'm glad I did, because in my life I could have ended in disaster. But prayer was made. Prayer was made. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. We can walk as close to God as we want to walk. We can have as much of God as we want, as we need. There are promises in God's word, no doubt, that we would like to see fulfilled in our own life. God will fulfill those. God will answer those prayers. Prayer is built on itself. We must continue. We thank God for the times that He comes down and He encourages us and He strengthens us. That's why we like camp meeting. Because prayer builds on itself from one prayer meeting to the next. And the Lord shows us things, and He enlightens us, and He strengthens us, and He gives us vitality and life, and we thank God for that. And the next prayer meeting, we find we can build on those things. But if we let too much time go by in between a prayer meeting when God met us, we can forget what God did. We can forget the light He showed us. We can forget the cornerstone He just laid in our life. We can forget the attitude adjustment He gave us. It's critical to build on our prayer life. It's critical to build on one prayer meeting after another. Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians. He says, we behold the glory of the Lord, and we behold it as if we're looking in a mirror. We are changed into that image from glory to glory, as by the Spirit of God. Or we could say from prayer meeting to prayer meeting. The Lord changes us, and He works with us, and He draws us closer to Him by His Spirit. Step by step. You can't take the second step until you take the first. You can't take the fifth until you take the fourth. And that's how God leads us along. If we continue to pray and we continue to seek the Lord, we'll find that He builds on those prayer meetings and those times of victory. And if we'll stay with it, we'll find that the Lord is beginning to build something in our life that we didn't know about. We didn't know He could do. We never thought about it before. There's wonderful victory in this gospel if we will pray. I'm not saying you don't have victory tonight, but I am saying there's probably more than you have. There's probably more than we have. There's a whole lot more of this gospel we can have. There's a lot more confidence we can have. Prayer is the answer to overcome every doubt, every fear, everything that we could face. Prayer will give us the victory over those things. 2 Kings chapter 2, we read of Elijah. And Elisha was called of God, and he was following Elijah, and he wanted that double portion to do what God had called him to do. And Elijah said, if you see me when I am taken up, it will be yours. And that was not just a casual approach that he had about it. That was something he felt that he had to have. He knew what he needed. He needed help from God. He needed that double portion. He needed that anointing from God. And he had opportunities to stay behind while Elijah continued on, but he did not. There was something about that he had to have as he pursued him. He watched him. He followed him. And he stayed there because he had to have that.
In 2 Kings
chapter 2, verse 12, it tells us Elisha saw him. Elisha saw it, and the goods were his. And when we get a hold of a hunger for God like that, that's how it is. We don't want to let up on it. We don't want to back off. It's too precious. It's too priceless. The ground that we're gaining, when there's a spark in our heart, we want to build on that. And we want to keep praying, and we want to keep pursuing, because what God has for us, we've got to have it. We've got to have what God has for us. We want what God has for us. And if we pursue it and we stay with it, God will answer that prayer. God will come through for us. God will begin to build in our lives. It's important to be interested. We thank God for hunger and we thank God for spark. When God is so faithful so many times to encourage us. And we thank God for that. And we want to recognize that. We want to notice that. And then we want to build on it. We want to keep praying. What are we praying for? Well, there has to be a purpose. There has to be a reason. Do you want to draw closer to God? Do we want to be more like Him? Of course we do. But we have to pray to get there. Of course there has to be activity and zeal and all of these other things. But nothing takes the place of prayer. Nothing ever will. The more we pray, the better our victory. We can walk as close to God as we want to. We're interested in it. That's the beauty of a hunger, because we lose sight of ourselves. When we're truly hungry for God and we begin to seek Him, we find an interest begin to grow. Haven't you found that to be true? And the more we pray, the more interested we become. The more interested we become, the more we pray. And a light begins to dawn and we begin to realize, you know, I believe God could really do this for me. I believe that this could really happen in my life. And that hunger begins to grow. That interest begins to grow. And so we realize, how did I miss this? I can't let up on this now. It's too much work to get here. There's been too many battles, too many battles fought. The Lord has given me victory step by step. I dare not back up now. The Lord will lead you right into victory. Right into victory as we pursue it. There's so many things that could take that interest away. One look at your phone. You forget what that verse was you were going to look up. We thank God for prayer, but there's nothing that takes the place of prayer. How wonderful it is to be able to pray with your spouse. What a treasure that is. When I do any marriage counseling, that's what I start with. Pray with your spouse. And in the middle of it, that's what we talk about. And that's how we end too. Learn to pray with your spouse. Pray with them. Learn to see God's face together. What a treasure that is. What a secret that is. To be able to pray together and find God meet you in prayer together. It's important. Prayer is important. There's nothing that takes the place of prayer. We thank God that He answers prayer. We thank God that He knows how to build us up. He knows how to encourage us. He sends things across our path. There's so many voices out there. So many things that will distract us. So many things that will tell us is not important. So many things that will rob us of our time. We get to look at the clock. We kneel down to pray and an email comes through. There's times we have to turn off our phone and we have to get down to business with God. We have to get down to business because we're seeking God's face. We're not trying to pray a certain time. We're trying to find God. Because there's more victory for us. There's something that we need from God. There's something God wants to do in our lives. So we have to make the effort to shut off the things of the world. And we thank God when we make that kind of an effort, just a little bit, God will honor that. If my people, which are called by my name, turn from their wicked ways. It may not be wicked ways. It may just be compromise. It may just be busyness. It may just be other things of life that get in the way. But even those things, when we turn from those and we make an effort, we're going to put those things aside and seek God's face. God will honor that. As we draw closer to Him, He will draw closer to us. God will begin to work in our lives and give us the victory that we didn't think could be ours. I'm sure a lot of you have found that to be true. I found that to be true in my own life. Things I really didn't know if God would do for me or could do for me, He's done for me. What a blessing it is. We thank God for prayer. We thank God that God answers prayer. That God gives us victory. We're not going to find it on Google. We're not going to find it on Instagram or anywhere else. We're not going to draw closer to God on social media. It won't happen. There's so many things out there, and social media can be used for good things too. I understand that and I appreciate that, but it's not prayer. We thank God for worship and we thank God for music and we thank God for the things that encourage us, but it's not prayer. We have to know what prayer is, and if we're going to know who God is. And you already do, I'm sure. But we thank God that we can draw as close to Him as we want to. We can have as much of God as we want. And I know I keep saying that, but there's no end to it. The worst thing we can do is become satisfied where we are and become indifferent. We're not interested in growing, not interested in higher ground. That's the worst thing we can do, because apathy is next. And then mediocrity. And we're not interested anymore. We can't remember what a vision for souls is. We can't remember what a love for souls is. We don't want to go there. We want to stay close to God, where the love of God is, where the Spirit of Christ is, where His grace is, to put us above every trial that we can find, that we can ever face in life. We thank God prayer will do that for us. God will do that for us as we pray. We're going to stand and sing number 630.